Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If he proves that he's ready to catch it, if he proves that, you know, he has the plate discipline that you want to see at the big league level, I don't know that there's much reason for him to keep him down there too long.
When you look at the bullpen and new rules, what is this giant bullpen? Is it going to be enough? How do you view this bullpen, the strength? Is it now still the strength, or how much has it changed?
It could be. I don't know what the strength of this team is right now.
So right,
if
sure.
If you're asking for a strength, then, yeah, it could be those guys. But I also couldn't tell you beyond maybe Tony Watson and probably Sean Anderson and maybe Tyler Rogers and Trevor Gott. Like, I couldn't really tell you who's going to be in the bullpen on opening day. They have 71 players in camp, and a huge chunk of those guys are non-roster relievers and young starters who aren't going to be in the rotation. So I do think that they're going to try something interesting with the bullpen. I think you're going to see a lot of guys pitching two or three innings at a time because of the new rules. It maybe makes guys like an Andrew Suarez, Derek Rodriguez, maybe turns them into a little bit of a different type of reliever. And potentially that'll work. Potentially it'll be really good. I don't think there's any reason why a young bullpen has to be a bad bullpen. So that is something that could work for these guys this year. But at the same time, I mean, they were pretty good early last year, and that was because they had a lot of veterans who knew what they were doing and knew their roles, and they worked well together. So I think by the end of the year, this could be a pretty good bullpen, but early on, it might be pretty rough.
Alex, we were talking to John Morosi yesterday, and there were some things he brought up, and Nicholas Castellanos' name came up, and he said that according to the people he had talked to, he thought the Giants had finished runner-up in that sweepstakes. And we were thinking to ourselves, it was 4 years, $64 million for a guy who hit .289 last year, can play the outfield, supposed to be a good clubhouse guy. You'd be getting him at age 28, 29, 30, and 31. Do you think they came up as runners-up in that situation? Were they close? And at $16 million a year over, you know, a four-year deal, it didn't seem like it was that much. What happened with the Nicholas Castellanos sweepstakes?
I know they liked him. I don't know if they were necessarily the runners-up. There weren't that many teams really left willing to spend at that point of the offseason. So they probably were either second or third. I know that is something that tends to happen with the Giants. So sometimes I don't necessarily view that. It's a good thing, but I don't view it as a huge positive because a lot of times they're just a big market team that's in on a lot of these guys and where other teams aren't. So they are going to be a team that is still there at the end. I haven't had a chance to really ask anybody why ultimately he wasn't a fit. I would imagine that for them it came down to money and what they're willing to spend. And they're still very focused on getting rid of payroll. And you look at the guys who are still here, the Buster Posey's, the Brandons, Jeff DiMaggio, Johnny Cueto, Evan Longoria. They're trying to get rid of a lot of that payroll, and they're basically waiting out the clock on a lot of those contracts, which end after next season. So there still is kind of a little bit of hesitance to go deep with some of these contracts, and I'm sure that played a part in it. But, yeah, I think in terms of him, he would have been a good fit for this team. But, again, they're only going to go so far as they kind of played out here. I mean, you look at it, Wilmer Flores is the only player to get a multi-year deal under Farhan Zaidi. And I believe Kevin Gausman still has the highest contract, which is $9 million.
You look at the outfield, and to me it looks like a lot of third and fourth outfielders. Yet there's a guy out there, Yasiel Puig, who still is looking for a place to play. Is there any possible rumblings or any movement that you see that the Giants could possibly still be interested or were interested in bringing in Puig?
Yeah, everything I've heard is that that's no longer the case. I mean, you know, the one thing I'll say is with this front office that these guys play everything out and they're going to be in on everything. And if he's sitting there in a month and he still doesn't have a home, you know, and maybe the price is really cheap. We've seen Farhan's never going to say no to anything. So they're always going to look at everything and they'll see how camp goes. But I just don't see a spot for him right now on this roster with the way they have it and the commitment they've made to give guys like Jalen Davis an opportunity at some point. So I think that's difficult just to find a fit for him, especially after they went and got Hunter Pence.
Giants insider, NBC Sports Bay Area from Scottsdale, Alex Pavlovich, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Alex, we appreciate the time. Enjoy spring training. Hopefully we catch up again soon.
All right, thanks, Seth.
I like that. I like that. The Joey Bart conversation, I like that. A little bit of optimism, a little bit of something to gleam onto, something to grab onto here going into this season. You know, we had it yesterday. We were going to come out and discuss whether or not, you know, would we see him this year? Would it be September call-ups? We weren't sure. What's the rush? Take your time. They're not going to be any good. And now he's saying before September, assuming healthy and produces well, but AAA Sacramento, like Alex said, it's a Masher's League. You put up huge numbers there. Huge numbers. Mac Williamson's the king of Sacramento. Outside of Cozumel and Kevin Johnson yeah. and everyone else that's there. That's neither here nor there at the moment, though. This is good news.
Great news. And I think that it's not so much about whether or not he can hit. It's more about how he is as a defensive catcher, how he can receive. Because Buster Posey is one of the best, if not the best, defensive catchers still in the way he can receive and frame and handle a pitching staff. And that ultimately is the big step any young catcher has to make. You look at what he did in Double A, 80 at-bats, four homers, he had an OPS of 912. I know it's a small sample size, but
hit 316.
Yeah, and what he did in Single A, and he was hurt, I think he broke his hand, he took a pitch and broke a finger, but what he did in Double A shows you that he can absolutely hit, and so if you project those numbers offensively to Sacramento, you would expect big things, but it's really the defensive catching, I think, that you're going to look at before he gets called up.
Plus the idea of getting him up so he can learn from Buster Posey. If you're going to be paying Posey and you're not going to get a lot of power or a lot of production offensively, that's understandable. He's battled injuries. He's on the back nine of his career. But having the opportunity to learn from something like that, you got to figure that's one of the best in the business to help bring you along as you transition from minor league prospect into professional everyday player.
Oh, without a doubt it is. But I just don't know if the Giants are going to do it. You say, and I understand Alex, you know, he's around the team. It's just, it's for what? Why would you bring him up if this team's 2 years from being, where, you know, from cleaning up from all the guys expiring contracts? I just don't know if it's necessarily for them to do that, because you're going to bring this guy, but then you wouldn't sign a guy that came in second place. It reminds me of going to, you know, when I go to a lot of these little, you know, charity events and they have those auctions, and I look at something and I think that I want it, and I'm like, okay, I already know this is going to be out of my league. I already know people are going to, but I'll jump in early and bid. I know I'm not going to get caught. So you know what the Giants say? I'm going to jump in early and bid. I'm going to throw this number out there, but I have no idea.
Hey, look at Lo Neal getting involved.
Exactly. It makes me look good. Oh, Lo's out there. You know, I go to these guys' things, and I'm like, I know I'm around these people, and I got a couple shuckles, couple bucks.
You get on the sheet for the minimum bid.
No, but then we have, sometimes you go to them, and they have the auctioneer up there. So I'm throwing my name. I got my
early
sign.
Paddle. Yeah, you got that early paddle.
I got my paddle rolling up.
I like that.
I'm chasing it up a little bit, and then I see it slow down, and you know, I get the penguin arms. I don't go up anymore. Giants, I feel they're doing the penguin on these. It's that, well, we were in on it. They're at the auction, Joe. They're throwing up the paddle. But do they really want it? And that's why I'm saying I don't know about Joey Bart. I know. Okay. Do you really want to bring him up for what? For who?
Because he's the future. And here's an idea. You've got Brandon Belt right now. He's $17.2 million this year, $17.2 million next year. What if he has a pretty good first half? Your team's not doing well, but you have a chance to trade Brandon Belt ahead of the deadline. You move Buster Posey to first base. Now you've got your second-round draft pick, Aramis Garcia, and you've got Joey Bart as your catching tandem, and you start to click this thing forward for the future, because ultimately, you want to see Joey Bart as soon as he's ready to get him as much experience as possible so that in 2022, which, by the way, Buster Posey has a $3 million buyout for that season, so he'll likely be gone. Johnny Cueto has a $5 million buyout. He'll likely be gone. Evan Longoria is the only guy on the books right now at just about $20 million for that season. So you're right, Joe. Everything is eyes on 2022. But if you can get Joey Bart a season and a half of pro catching experience leading into that season, it's only going to help you.
Let's look at the first part of that and go a different direction. Brandon Belt is Brandon Belt, and they can't move him. You want to bring Bart up and you want to play him and you want him to catch, great. And you want to put Posey at first, great. What do you end up doing with Belt, do you think? Do you try to play him in the outfield? That's not going to help anyone.
No.
And you don't want to take those reps away from a Jalen Davis or a younger guy.
Maybe you platoon him then, because we know that Farhan Zaidi is going to love the platoon situation. So you got Belt hitting lefty, you got Posey hitting righty. All of a sudden now Posey becomes your right-hand hitting first baseman. He and Brandon Belt platoon. and then they pinch hit, and you try to see what you can do with the catching spot, because Aramis Garcia, 27 years old, he was a second-round pick, so you do want to see him this year, but Alex is right. There's no one else in front of Joey Bart, and Garcia's really not ahead of Bart. He's just got more experience. If Bart comes up and you have Garcia, then I think you can move Posey to first and platoon him.
Big announcement coming at 7:30. We had a little text thread going last night. We were talking about a prison bet situation, and then we decided, you know what? We'll talk to our boy Bob Myers. We need his help with something, and we're going to bring you guys into it. There's going to be a chance to win something pretty cool. We're going to announce that at 7:30. Right now, I want to pivot. This story is all over the place. We got to address it at least some point because that's what we do. We solve problems. Problems arise in the world. We look at them. We study them. We bring them up. We discuss them with you, the people. And then we try to work our way towards a solution for society so that we can better the world we live in as we move forward. For those who haven't seen it, there's a woman on an airplane. It's an American Airlines flight. Apparently, her name is Wendy Williams. She has this grievance in which she was in the second last row of the airplane on the aisle. The gentleman behind her on the aisle, obviously, he's in the last row. Last row. So he's got the bathroom behind him.
Yeah, right. Seats don't
His
go back.
His seat doesn't go back.
Right.
Apparently what happened is she reclined her seat. He was outraged. Nice guy. I know you talked about this morning. You know the story a little bit better than me, so feel free to jump in if I'm getting anything incorrect here. He punched the back of her seat. Punched the back of her seat. He was so outraged by this. Now, what she did was, this wasn't captured on video, and she was worried about what was going to happen moving forward. So she kept the seat reclined, and she started filming. She held her phone up and started filming the gentleman behind her. So the video's on the internet. You can see what happens afterwards. And he's just behind her, like, throwing little jabs at the seat, just repeatedly punching it. At one point, it looks like he freaks out and says something to her. I can't hear the audio. Nice guy. Please join the program. Fill in some of the blanks here of what I'm missing or what you know that I don't.
No, you actually,
which is little, I'm sure.
You really have it fully covered. The video didn't show him saying anything. You don't hear any voices or whatever. It just says beforehand, the context to it is she says he just punched it 9 times, in all caps, hard. And I don't know whether...
Is that before the video?
That was before the video started.
He had
started.
Punched it multiple times, and then she started filming.
Then she started filming, and then he started throwing the little jabs. So he was giving her some little... You know, he was giving her the Deontay Wilder knockout shots beforehand, and then when she started filming, she was giving the little Tyson Fury jabs. Precise with it.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much on that. Now, this sounds as if the gentleman is in the wrong. This is unacceptable behavior. And that's where it should end. But apparently the internet is polarized on this one because she's reclined into him. And a lot of people feel there shouldn't be any reclining at all, that these seats should just be set up one specific way and that's it. You seem very, come on back.
And also the one thing that she mentioned is that the flight attendant didn't reprimand the man. The flight attendant just gave him a glass of rum.
Oh. Sympathized. Was it free rum?
Rewarded the man with some rum.
Free, well, we don't know if it's free, but if it was rewarded.
If it's free, it's for me.
So she gave the guy some rum. So obviously the flight attendant is sympathizing with the gentleman over the woman. This is very interesting. I'll start with you. What do you make of this?
It's a tough call because he's in the last row. So he has no ability to recline away from the fact that she's reclining into him. So I am somewhat sympathetic to his plight because he's got no escape. But at the same time, you can't handle this incident by punching the seat, even the baby punches, and you don't see the big punches on the video, but you ask the individual to please move their seat up, and if she doesn't want to move her seat up, then you bring the flight attendant in and you try to resolve it that way. As far as reclining goes, the seats recline for a reason. So if you're in the back row of the plane, that's a tough break. She's allowed to recline as she sees fit.
But if you bring the flight attendant over and you say, I'm having a problem here, I've asked her if she'll put her seat up and she won't, what's the flight attendant going to do?
Either find him another seat or then, I don't guess, she has to get him some rum. Try to inebriate him to where he falls asleep and it's no longer an issue.
What do you make of this?
It's tough.
You're a big man. Traveling for you can probably be a bit of a struggle at times.
I've been on both ends of those situations. I've seen also where they have a deal that you can order, Joe, and you put it on your tray, and it locks the other seat from going back. And I saw that article as well.
There's something you can buy that will prevent the person from moving their seat. Wow.
And it was a big deal on the plane because the lady tried to recline her seat, but the gentleman had it locked.
The blocker.
And it actually went viral, that, and he had his kids. Someone even arrested from just from the seats being being aggressive. So I saw that they have the blocker where you can order it online, and it stops, it prevents people from sitting in front of you to let them back, to let their seat back. I just think the seat thing is crazy because these planes, they have them, and you have, why are you reclining a seat? Why does that? Because it's not enough room. So I think the airlines got to set it at a, I think that they should set it at a certain spot and don't let it go back, or because it's uncomfortable. Because I had it and hit my, it was hitting my knees. And so sometimes I just kept my knee there and it kind of blocked it. And then I was like, you know what? It's hurting my knee. I'm just going to open up a little wide and just like, instead of doing anything. And I was a little disappointed. And I had to take a couple deep breaths. And like, especially when it's a small, and you know, they're just going back and then just drop that seat right away. Right when you take off, whoop, and it goes right back on your knee. And you have to understand they're there for a reason. And I had to suck it up. I didn't say anything to the individual, but I did a couple times bump it. You know, might have been intentional, maybe not. And then that was it. But you there's no place to just punch it. It's just you got the airplane, you bought your ticket, and that's just unfortunate. He's in the back row, and you got to deal with it.
Airline travel brings out the absolute worst
it
in
does.
Humanity.
It does.
If you think about the convenience and the great fortunate nature of society in the year 2020 for how we can travel and yet how we handle traveling, from TSA to how we try to scam with our luggage to how we have no regard for anyone as we make our way through airports, people meandering in the middle as people are trying to, it's a fast paced situation. People need to make connectors, but no one has any regard for any of this. Luggage everywhere, messy situations everywhere, everyone racing to board the plane, no one racing to get off the plane, no regard for anything, fighting over middle seat, armrests and things of this nature. I'm always of the belief that give society as much freedom as you can until society proves it can't handle that freedom. And there are several freedoms we have proven that we cannot handle, one of which is the reclining seat. We just can't handle it. We don't have regard for one another. If you're going to put that seat back, it'd be nice if you turn around and gave a heads up. That's the one thing. Flight to Miami that we just took, I got wine drilled on me. Two gentlemen making out in front of me the entire flight. Now, I don't have a problem with the fact that it's two gentlemen. I don't want to see anyone making out. I don't want to see anyone that happy. I want you even keel. I want to pretend like this is post-World War I, pre-World War II.
It's PDA. Right? I mean, PDA in a plane. It's like, get a
the
room.
Time.
It's wear a long your, flight,
wear
too.
Wear your shoes on the plane. Wear your shoes. I'm tired of these people that are going barefoot on the plane. That's just disgusting. And number two, no making out. We're all in this tin can together. We got to have some regard for one another. So I get the two guys making out in front of me the whole ride. You know what? Fine, I'll deal with it. Then the one guy, the whole flight. It's back, it's forward, Whoa. It's back, it's forward. So it's not even just one.
It's tough.
Jacks it back, knocks the remaining third of my glass of wine all over me. His compatriot turns around and sees it. Open mouth. But not going to do anything about
right.
it. Not going to be like, man, could we buy another wine? Could we at least say we're sorry?
Right.
He just looked shocked, and then he turned and looked forward. And the hope was that I would not do anything, to which I did nothing. What is my recourse? My recourse is nothing. It's
just
one of those moments in life.
Okay,
you just
got
to take it. I got to realize I'm not getting an apology. I'm not getting a bottle of wine. I think we got about 3 hours left of this flight. What am I going to do? Am I going to start a fight? What's going to happen?
We know you're not getting up. That's for sure.
Can't get up.
Right.
So the mindset has been for me, this has been something I've been working on for about 4 months now. I wake up every day. I say the same thing. 1440.
Yeah.
1440 is the amount of minutes that are in a day. 1,440 minutes. So every time something like this rises, I try to remind myself, 1440, how much time do I have to dedicate to this? And for that, I had plenty. I had 3 more hours I could have dedicated to it, but I was not going to get into it.
I don't think you get in that situation, Joe, but I think you can address it. I think that that's not anything wrong with it.
What's going to happen?
No, it's
someone's going to write me a check. Someone's going to buy me a new shirt that's been ruined.
It's just the fact you just say, hey, excuse me, sir. Hey, you knocked my wine. Just, you know, be careful.
If the guy who saw it wasn't even willing to say, I'm sorry, if I now have to get your attention to get an apology, does that apology even do anything for me?
Yeah, I understand.
Just eat it.
Yeah.
Just eat it. So the guy in the back, just eat it, bro. That's what it is. That's where we're at. Eat the CRAP that is shoveled in front of you. No one says you got to like it, but that's society. Give them freedom until we prove we can't handle it. We cannot handle the reclining seat. Take it away. It needs to be taken away.
I too had that same situation though, Joe, but the two individuals that were the two male, they sat next to me and
they're making out next to you.
And I have my popcorn and my little mixture that I make with my beef jerky and this stuff.
Disgusting.
And the guy was hungry and he wanted some of my food. So we end up talking for the 3-hour drive, the flight to Denver, from Denver to
Miami. It's actually not my situation at all. You making out with two other guys and sharing beef jerky.
Joe, very different than the situation I had.
That's karma for you pestering me on our flight to Vegas. That's what that is.
What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fix Auto Collision Centers. Got a surprise for you next. Big announcement. Cool contest. We want you involved. A traffic accident can be a real headache, so let Fix Auto Collision Centers help. Fix Auto has locations throughout the Bay Area. Call 1-800-INFO-FIX to find the location nearest you. Fix Auto, the first words that should come to mind after an accident.
Now back to Joe Low and Dibs.
Kanya!
On 95.7 The Game.
Woman getting her seat on an airplane punched by a gentleman from behind because she reclined the seat and he was mad and air travel. It brings out the worst. We need to be better. But you know what? Air travel just, it turns everyone into savages. Savages on airplanes. Someone on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795, bringing up what they hate the most, a plane landing and people from the back trying to sprint to the front to get off the plane first. Right. Like what makes you think you're the first to think of that?
Right.
Yes, we would all like off the plane, which begs the question, why are we always in such a rush to get on the plane,
right,
but never in a rush to get off? Like, you watch people getting off, and then it comes up. It's like two rows in front of you. The guy looks up. Okay, let me get my bag. Excuse me. I need to come two seats back to get my bag because, you know, I need everyone to move, but I'm not going to get out of the way. And
right.
That's my big one is carry-on luggage. Carry-on luggage should be banned. The overhead compartments should be eradicated. If you can't fit it under the seat in front of you, you got to check it. And that way, everybody's in it together.
And pay for it?
Well, I don't like to pay for the bag. I know I'm a big Southwest traveler, and your first two bags are free. But, like, we flew to Miami, and I was $35 for my suitcase. That, to me, is exorbitant and unnecessary. But ban all carry-ons. You get your backpack or a purse, and that's it.
Okay, that's interesting.
And that, by the way, would speed up getting off the plane, too, because you wouldn't have to go three rows back to the overhead bin, etc. Just check it.
Just, you know what, just don't try to cut in front of people when you're behind them and you're trying to get off the plane first. It's like, dude, I'm going to cut two people in front of this to get up. Now, I understand if you got a connecting flight. It got to a point sometimes where I don't even want to argue. I'll just sit in my seat and I'll door and it'll be the last one off. Because it's like, what? These people are running on here trying to get mad if you're trying to step out in the aisle. Like, I'm just going to step out in the aisle, but it's my turn. I'm going to grab my bag. It's not a big deal. You can't go anywhere.
Right. No,
and they're squeezing and pushing. You're like, dude, why don't you just calm down? And finally, I get to a point, instead of getting upset and bot, I'll just use the old hand, the sweeping motion. Go right ahead, buddy. Is this what you need to do? Go ahead, sister. And it's sometimes it's ridiculous.
This is why the aliens are monitoring us. This is why they come down, the gimbal, the tic-tac, look up the videos. They're here. They're watching. They don't understand. They don't understand. We've gifted great things like technology, the ability to harness nuclear power. So what do? We blow each other up. Hey, here's the ability, instead of getting in a covered wagon, picking up dysentery and needing 8 months to get from Missouri to Oregon, here's a plane. It'll get you there in 3 hours. Mm. We got to fight. I got to take my shoes off.
Man.
You think Lewis and Clark took their shoes off?
Oh,
not
no.
Once. And I know that firsthand. Lewis and Clark never took their shoes off. The whole Oregon Trail.
Maybe they had gout because they didn't get a lot of hydration, didn't eat right, so they could have had to take the shoes off.
Those are real-world issues.
Yeah, gout, swelling of the feet. It's tough, boy.
All right. I don't think we solved much of anything there, but
no.
The show is brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises. We might as well get a plug in there. All right, so last night, a classic prison bet scenario broke out amongst the group. That is actually today's Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet. Hit us up on the Chilton Auto Body text line right now, 95795, or you can call the show if you want to get in on this, 888-957-9570. It ties in to a contest we decided we're going to have. We called our good friend Bob Myers. We said, Bob, we need Chase Center. You may think we're joking. We're not. We got Chase Center, and we're going to explain that to you in just a moment. But here's the genesis of the conversation. Classic prison bet. $5 million if you succeed, tax-free, right in your pocket. Or a year in prison if you fail. And not white-collar prison.
Mm.
Serious prison.
Real prison.
Real prison.
San Quentin prison.
7 of 10 free throws. You got to knock down 7 of 10. $5 million versus a year in prison. You can have a year to train, too. You got 1 year to train for this thing. So starting today, 365 days of training, however you want. You don't even have to train at all if you don't want. Then the moment of truth. You've got to knock down 7 free throws. You can do it any way you want, granny style, off the backboard. There will be no wind. There will be no conditions. There will be no heckling. You're stepping to the line. Someone's there to monitor. 7 of 10. Would you be able to do it? Would you? First of all, would you take that bet?
I would take that bet, absolutely.
You're in prison on the line.
I've shot so many free throws in my life. I'm 51 years old. I've been playing basketball, shooting baskets for probably 47 years. I grew up in a basketball household. My older brothers played. I would go to the gym with them as a young lad, and all I would do is shoot around. Shoot around with a volleyball at first, then you gradually get a bigger basketball, then you shoot a regulation ball. I know I can shoot and make 7 out of 10 free throws. I'd be willing to risk a year in prison with the reward of $5 million. I absolutely could. 7 out of 10, it's not that difficult.
How feverishly would you train over the next year?
I wouldn't train that feverishly, but I would go out and shoot probably 3 or 4 times a week and just work on the stroke.
With the risk of going to San Quentin for a year on the line, you'd only train 3 or 4 times a week.
You don't want to overtrain, Coach. You don't want to overtrain and get to a point where you get muscle fatigue or you get too locked in on it. You got to stick to your solid routine. For me, the big question would be left hand, right hand, or granny style, because I'm adept at all three. I'm ambidextrous when it comes to basketball. I started out as a right-handed player. In 6th grade, I taught myself, because of Chris Mullen, to shoot left-handed. I was a huge Chris Mullen guy from his time at St. John's. So by the time I became a young adult, I was amphibious, able to score right-handed and left-handed. So that, to me, is the big question. Which hand do I go with? Because I'm equally adept.
From the 408, I did 8 months at San Quentin. There is no way I'm taking those shots. Seven Dutch, you miss the first one, panic immediately sets in. Immediately. Now, for you, I'm changing the criteria because you've done well for yourself, so I got to make it. I got to $5 million, I can see you pass it. I'm going to put $1 billion out there. $1 billion to the point where you can now take over the world. You are no longer hanging out with the LTs of the world. You're hanging out with Gates. You're hanging out with Bezos.
Jeff Bezos.
Jeff Bezos. You're going all the way to the top, baby. $1 billion tax-free versus a year in prison. Are you taking those shots?
Oh, if you said we're going to do it today, I would say no.
Have a year to train.
A year to train, yeah. I mean, but
really?
Oh, yeah, but if you say a year to train, you can do it. But if you said just, okay, we're going out there right now, I don't think Dims would make it. If you said, let's just go right now, and you put that type of pressure, it's even
though
it's 7 to 10.
Do you get any warm-ups in your scenario?
No. You just say, look, you're 7 to 10. He's talking like, I'm that good. I can do that 7 to 10 in my sleep pretty much. No. And, yes, I'm training 5, probably 7 days a week with the year because I'm not going to take it all for granted. That's just what I would do, especially, you know, anything can happen. I'm training and I'm taking it serious. But, yeah, if you gave me a year – yes.
I mean, and $1 billion. But remember, if you don't hit 7, a year of your life, you're going to hardcore prison.
Yeah, but
if you're also very strong. You would probably do quite well there.
Yeah, but
you might not want to come out.
Easy there, Tiger. No, I think if you gave someone a year to train, very few people, even if it's Joe, even if you told me $1 million.
The risk of losing a year of your life to prison, that's a lot of people would look at that and say, you know what, I'm fine. I don't need to take the risk for the $5 million, which common people like Dibs and I, we get that offer.
You get
$1 billion because we want to really incentivize you.
Even if it was $1 million, I'm taking that. If you gave me a year.
Really?
A year?
You miss that first one, you are going to be shook. You realize the first one changes everything. If you miss the first, now all of a sudden you have to make 7 of 9, and it's in your head. You knock down the first, you're like, all right, all that training was worth it. You miss the first, and all that training, you're going to start.
Pressure.
Yeah, your head's gone.
The pucker factor.
I don't even know.
Your knees is bad. I don't know why you even taking that.
It's a stationary shot, Lo. I don't have to drive and dish or go to the rack with authority.
But now, you have several injuries day to day just sitting down. Right. I can hear the bones crack.
Thank you for the CBD salve. I put it on yesterday on my ailing forearms. It worked like magic. I appreciate that. I actually found it at home, but that's just a sidebar for another day. I go granny style, and I'd hit 7 out of 10, Coach.
7 out of 10 granny style.
I refereed 8 games last week, and I shot probably 150 shots just during timeouts. I don't stand there like a real referee. Oh. I'm out there playing one-on-one with my 16-year-old. We're shooting half quarters. I'm throwing up corner threes. I'm in shape.
You can.
I may be physically a hot mess,
but you can fill it up.
I could score the basketball. I'm a knockdown shooter.
See, the thing is, you talk about a year of training. You've both only talked about taking free throws. I think there's a mental component to
absolutely.
This. I'd bring in Russell Wilson, his mental coach that he's got. That guy,
his hair guy too.
His hair guy. I want good hair when I do it, without question. I need that.
Get that perm.
I'd bring in psychiatrist, therapist, Phil Jackson, Buddhist.
There's the shot doctor guy who used to work with Shaquille O'Neal and many other pros who struggle from the stripe.
I don't want that guy. I don't want a I don't need a physical coach. I can shoot a free throw. I'll figure that part out. Quite nasty at beer pong. Not top five like I am in Monopoly, but you know, top 50 worldwide in beer pong.
I would bring in Jim Cosimore, who famously hit 108 straight on the Jerry Lewis telethon back in 1964.
4 out of 5 for 10 million?
4 out of 5 for 10 million?
Yeah.
Versus a year in prison?
Yeah. I'm
out. Whoa.
Now I'm out.
Whoa.
I like 7 out of 10 better than 4 out of 5.
That one I'm out.
Yeah, it's 70% versus 80%, so that's kind of obvious.
I don't know why he's trying to...
Are you saying
2 out of 3 for $80 million?
I just gave you another
$5
million.
What your preference is, but are you saying no to the 4
out of
5?
I'm saying no out of 4 out of 5.
I'm saying no
to 4 out of 5. The reason we bring all this up, and we'll take the calls too as well if you want to jump in, 888-957-9570. We were battling on a text thread about this last night as to who would actually do something like this and what it would actually take to get it done. And then we said, you know what? Let's do something like this. Not actually put prison or $5 million on the line,
but
let's put something cool on the line like Warriors tickets, and let's give you a chance to shoot free throws at Chase Center. So we reached out to Bob Myers. We have his number directly. We reached out. Bob immediately got back to us because he knows what happens if he doesn't. He's going to actually lose some credibility with the billions. But Bob being the great guy that he is, the Warriors being the great organization that they are, they're giving us the gym. We've decided we're doing a show. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. We're doing a show at Chase Center. So it's going to be Wednesday, February 26th, 2 weeks from yesterday, Wednesday, February 26th, Jolo and Dibs doing our show on the court at Chase Center in the morning. There's a couple catches, though. We're going to end the show about a half hour early because the Warriors are giving us the court for about an hour to put together a free throw contest. Free throw contest. 10 of you are going to have a chance to bring a guest and participate. I think we're going to put some Warriors tickets or something on the line for the grand prize winner. But starting next week, 7:45 and 8:45 each day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, next week, 7:45 and 8:45, we're going to qualify someone to come shoot free throws with us at Chase Center. Again, the $5 million versus prison not on the line, so you don't have to worry about the pressure. You can actually just come and enjoy yourself.
Right.
But if you win the contest, boom, we're going to hook you up with some Warriors tickets. We'll figure some other stuff out. We'll be out there, but that's how it's going to work. So it's next week, Monday through Friday, 7:45 each day, 8:45 each day. One person will qualify. We're probably going to do it in trivia style. So something that happens during the course of the show will bring up as the trivia question at 7:45. And if you're the first to call and you know it, boom, you get to come out to Chase Center, bring a guest. The guest will not be shooting. The guest will hang out. Guests can be, you know, part of the billions. We're all going to have a good time, but you're going to get to shoot 10 free throws, and then we're going to work our way through a contest.
It's incredible, and I know that the three of us will get a chance to shoot our free throws, our best of 10, and have a little bragging rights between the three of us. And if you're one of the listeners who qualifies to shoot free throws, you can pit yourself against us as well as each other going for the prize. Can you imagine the bragging rights if you were a listener? And just to be able to shoot at Chase Center, for one thing, is an incredible prize in and of itself. But if you were to beat a Joe Fortenbaugh, a Lorenzo Neal, or Dibber Claus, if you were able to have that on your resume, those kind of bragging rights, that is priceless, Joe.
I will not be shooting.
You're not going to shoot?
I'm going to sit courtside. That's what I do at Chase. Yeah. It's Joey courtside.
You're actually going to sit on the court.
Not Joey free throws. Just kidding. Now we got, here comes all the braggadocio.
Bring it.
Text line talking about knocking down 9 of 10. We got, okay. Okay, the clown show on the text line. Suddenly everyone's Steve Kerr from the Stripe. Here we go with all the commentary. Wanting to know, will we be serving grilled cheese at the event? Hadn't thought about it.
Great idea.
You want to bite my head? I think it's freaking
awesome.
How about
the loser has to lick your head?
That's a pass.
I wonder if you can.
You don't have a say.
If you can make more than your hero, who I was doing the homework this morning because of our text thread last night and all the talk about free throws. Did you know that your guy LeBron James is a very poor free throw shooter? In fact, he's the 14th worst in the association this year.
Come on. I knew he struggled. 14th worst?
14th worst in the association. As we go around the association, he's not even shooting 70%, coach. He's shooting 67%.
He also
had a really awesome triple.
Did you know that, though?
Did you see last night?
Did you know that? Just answer the question.
Did you know?
Did you know that your guy struggles?
Last night?
Just say yes and then tell him about the triple double and the win.
Yeah.
They lead the West.
Yes,
you've got plenty of ammo. You don't need to.
Exactly.
It's hard to shoot free throws when you got a former fullback, dangling.
Yeah, you're cute. You're cute.
Thanks, I'm adorable.
Yeah.
I've been told that many
times.
How
many do you think you can knock down at Chase in 2 weeks' time? Because you're probably not going to get any reps in between now and then, let's be honest. Yeah, you're a busy guy is what I mean by that.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know, Joe. I think I'll get seven. Seven's
not five, not six. Seven's not seven.
Seven is a big number. Seven's a big number. LeBron's not even hitting 70%, as you just mentioned, from the stripe this year in the association, and that's his job, and he trains at that.
Yeah, so I'm saying maybe six, but I think
that's reasonable.
I think that it's just awesome. I'm not gonna go Mr. Dibley and I'm gonna make it. No, hopefully I can get 50.
Don't buy into that.
I'm not. Thank
you're your
you,
own man.
It's honestly though, it's pretty amazing though to have the opportunity, Chase Center that hasn't been open a year, that you can tell your friends, oh my God, that Chase Center, I've got to play on that before friggin' Clay, I got to shoot free throws before a lot of guys.
Right, before Clay gets a chance to play a game.
Right, before he even plays a game, a physical game. Man, he's shooting games, but he's practicing, but he's not actually in a game. I actually got to go on the court. I've been on that court. I got to shoot free throws where LeBron James, where Steph Curry, where the greats are getting. That's pretty awesome,
it's
man.
Very
to
special.
Be able to go
that's
down
a good
that
point.
Floor. That's freaking unreal.
That's
only
a really good
15
point.
NBA players, by the way, aren't shooting 70%. Just as some context,
15 NBA players not shooting 70%.
Yes,
and I would not have guessed that.
I thought it would be more than that.
Yeah, agreed. Absolutely. I just assume every big man not shooting 70%. And there's got to be more than 15 big men in the league.
Yeah,
so right there.
RJ Barrett, the shooting guard, third worst at 61%. That's got to get better.
Well, he's a Knick, so you know that,
there you
that's
have it.
That's going the way you.
Giannis
exactly that
also
you
under 70%, which surprised me. He's
having a pretty good season, though.
He's a decent little player. Good little player.
Paul in Alameda. We're going to the
Meta.
Paul, welcome.
Meta.
It's always great to hear from our friends in the Meta. What do you got for us?
Fellas, it's kind of like in grown-up softball league when you start off already with one ball, one strike. Do you want to be the pitcher that tries to throw a strikeout, or do you want to be that batter that can take on the hit through the defense? Pressure happens when you got two strikes or two missed free throws and you're looking at prison. Some people pucker up, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think everyone's being far too cavalier with the whole, a year to train, I'll knock down 7 of 10 for the 5 mil with prison on the line.
Yeah.
That's a pass for me. I'm not doing that. I don't think the physical training is what matters. I think a couple days out there on the free throw line, you can get your stroke where it needs to be. You're not going to need 365 days to train physically. It's mentally. You miss that first one, how are you going to respond? Because there are people who are toast after missing that first one. There are people who'd be toast before they even step up to the stripe.
Miss the second one.
We're going to qualify. Yeah. Now all of a sudden you got to hit 7 of 8. Yeah. We're going to qualify 10 of you next week, 7:45, 8:45 each day next week to come shoot free throws with us at Chase Center Wednesday, February 22nd. We're going to do a show there. Then we're going to have a free throw shooting contest. There are going to be people that show up. There's probably going to be someone that goes 0 for 10. And that's no fault on that person.
No doubt.
We're not professional basketball players, but to just assume you could knock down 7 of 10, I find that to be a bit cavalier.
Especially when you're at Chase Center, and even though the place will be empty except for us and you know your plus ones and some of the staff from the Warriors, the pressure's still on. I had an opportunity about 12 years ago to take part in a three-point shooting contest during a Warrior game. Warriors in Denver, 20,000 on hand at Oracle. At the time, it was the largest crowd in regular season history. So
why was it such a big crowd?
It was the second to last game, and the Warriors had to win both games in order to make the playoffs. It's the year that they won 48 games and didn't make the playoffs.
Ah.
It was the year after I believe. I had three. I shot three threes from the corner, three from the wing, and three from the top of the key. I go out there, the first one, overshot, adrenaline, air ball. Second one, I try to adjust, air ball. Third one, I clank it. All of a sudden, you hear the crowd start to groan, and you realize you're shooting threes, and the NBA three, by the way, quietly is kind of a big hoist. I ended up going 1 for 9, and I realized in that moment how good these guys really are and how the pressure, the crowd, the depth perception, it's not easy.
And yet with prison on the line, you think you could hit 7 out of 10, and you're not even breaking a sweat over it.
Yeah, I'm a lot closer to the grave now, so I'm willing to roll the dice. You know, generational wealth worth what? A year? What's 1440 times 365, Joe?
There you go.
It's not that many minutes.
A lot of people, a lot of braggadocio on the text line. This is a humble program, but a lot of braggadocio on the text line today. If Low and Dibs are in the free throw contest, losers should wear the winner's underwear on top of the loser's head for a whole show 6 to 10 a.m.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's a bit odd.
He wants no part of my drawers.
Bring me in. If I hit seven, I get to replace Dibs for a week on the show. If I don't, I take you all out to a steakhouse dinner. And yes, great. I know Dibs doesn't eat meat.
I like that one.
That's, you wouldn't last one segment in this seat.
Yeah.
I will smash Low and Dibs in the free throw contest. That's just from Coach Jamal.
Huh. Coach Jamal.
Brad and Corte Madera. Brad, welcome to the show. Floor's yours. Fire away.
Well, this has been a while. It was back in 1980. I was shooting around. I'd made about 8 free throws in a row, and this little kid asked me what my record was, and at the time it was 52. So he shagged the ball for me, and I ended up making 153 in a row.
All right. Get out of here. What are you talking about?
No, 153. And the reason I missed 154th was there was a stage behind the free throw, behind the court that was – kids were playing ping pong, and the ball came into my line of vision and broke that concentration. But I had about 25 people standing around when I finished. Took me about 35 minutes.
All right, so if you had a year to train, $5 million versus a year in prison, are you doing it?
In a second.
Bring him down here.
What if I made it 8 of? What if I made it 8 of 10? Would you still do it?
Yes, I would.
Jeez.
Call him down. Bring him. Automatically put him in. Because this guy's talking about 150 in a row. I guarantee he won't make 10. I'll take that bet. How much you? I got a little scratch.
Now we're just going to get all types of side action. We're going to need the gym for like 3 weeks.
He did mention it was in 1980, which was 40 years ago. So I'm not sure if the man could even hoist it up and hit iron at this point.
Wow.
40 years later.
He's very confident that he could knock down 7 of 10, though. Very confident. See, This is the thing. You go out there and you work a little bit at it. I don't think it's that hard. But then I watch these guys like DeAndre Jordan. I watch Shaq throughout his career. And I think to myself, how could you not figure this out? How could you not get any better at this? And everyone says, well, you know, look, it's like shooting a Nerf ball. Your hand's so big and the ball's so small. You ever play beer pong? Like, there are people that figure that out. There's ways to figure it out. I don't care what the dimensions are of the rim and the ball. Just set it up and do it. It's a repetition over and over and over and over again. It shocks me that LeBron is still so bad at it. LeBron, that's been something that's plagued his entire career. Speaking of which, question for you. I wanted to ask all the listeners this as well today. If they want to continue to weigh in on the free throws, jump in. 888-957-9570. We're having a free throw challenge. We haven't named this thing. Maybe we'll call it the grilled cheese extravaganza, something like that. Something that doesn't make any sense.
No, we won't.
Right up our alley. Wednesday, February 26th. We're broadcasting live from Chase Center right after the show, which we're going to cut a little bit early. We're having a free throw contest on the floor. Warriors nice enough to let us use the gym. 10 of you are going to have a chance to show up and compete in a free throw contest. Next week is how you win. 7:45 and 8:45 every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 5 days, 2 slots a day. 10 of you will win an opportunity to come shoot. We'll hang out. Maybe we'll have some grilled cheese out there. Who knows? Who knows? What kind of soup do you make for a free throw shooting contest?
I was just thinking the same thing.
You'd have a gazpacho?
Oh, my God. You guys are too funny. You guys are too funny.
Tyler and Concord.
Hey, Tyler.
Tyler, thank you for the phone call. Welcome to the show. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? This contest is why you guys are the best morning show. I mean, I've lived all over the country, and I don't recall, you know, a show calling, getting in touch with an owner of an NBA franchise, like, hey, let us borrow your floor for a little contest because we were messing around in a group chat, you know? But enough fluff. That last guy's talking about 153 in a row.
Thank you.
Well, I've missed 153 in a row. Can I, you know, come out and take a prison bet for that? I bet you I can do that again. That's the sad thing. Like, I'm trying to make them. I can't. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I'm just not gifted from the stripe like Diddley is, you know. Some of us can shoot and some of us can't.
But you hang in there, Tyler. You hang in there.
I can do that.
Thanks, Tyler.
It's interesting, Joe. Call. Could he miss 100 free throws in a row if every free throw had to at least hit the rim?
No.
Because one of those is bound to go in,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there's going to be, if you had to at least hit the rim, something's going to, but you can't avoid it 100 times in a row. You would have to train yourself You'd have to train yourself to be able to do what they did, what the kid did at the end of the Duke North Carolina right. game. You got to fire it up and hit like the bottom portion of the rim so it redirects out. The thing is, though, if you're off and it goes too high, it hits the backboard, it misses the rim, and then what? You get disqualified.
Got to shoot it again.
Yeah, right. You'd have to kind of loft it. Right. And the last thing you want is a loft if you're trying to miss, because then any sort of bounce and redirect, you go in.
Right. If you don't hit iron, you're out.
You said you could shoot left-handed. Are you just joking around?
No, left-handed. Yeah. In sixth grade, about sixth grade, 1980, Chris Mullin was at St. John's, and I was a huge college basketball fan as a kid, and I was terrible as a basketball player, gone awful. My brother was a state champion. I always wanted to be like Doug, and I wanted to get better, so I spent my entire sixth grade year shooting left-handed. I took a volleyball out to Santa Fe High on the outdoor courts, and I would just shoot left-handed. Seventh grade, left-handed. Eighth grade, I finally made the A team playing left-handed, and I was left-handed all the way through. And then I could still shoot right-handed. So as I became a highly mediocre, slow, short, white guy playing basketball, I can shoot lefty, I can shoot righty.
But you finally made the team in eighth grade, so you wouldn't make it, and even though you were a prolific shooter.
I made because I was small. Small, scrawny, slow, okay. No hops, but the work ethic was there. Made the team as a freshman. Sophomore year, I was the only kid cut. Shout out Coach Walker. Rest in peace. He cut one kid, me.
Wow. Was it a bad cut?
It was a terrible cut, Coach. The previous year, I was the 12th man on a 12-man team. I showed up for 6 a.m. practice every single day, never said a word, worked my butt off. I don't know.
That's unlike you.
He took that to the grave. He took that to the grave with him.
Did you ever talk to him about it?
No.
Because he took it to the grave with him.
Yeah. Next year, so freshman year, Casa Grande.
He visits his grave every year and asks him, like Balboa going That's to right. see Adrian.
We won the title. We had a good team. We won the title. Sonoma County League champs as a freshman, 1982. And then next year I got cut. Junior year I transferred to Marin Catholic, tried out for the JV team, and got cut. That's when I knew that I should probably take up tennis. And I did.
Okay.
I like his game.
Reasonable. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Coach Adam, San Francisco. Here comes more braggadocia. Coach Adam, welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Thanks for having me, guys. We got to talk about what type of ball you're shooting with, because the NBA
a basketball. How about that? A basketball. We're going to shoot with
a basketball. That's great. But have you shot an NBA ball versus, like, the typical NCAA, you know, Wilson? It's a different feel.
What's easier?
I think the NBA, the NCAA is easier. It's got a better grip to it. It's not as slick of a NBA ball, especially the new ones. Those are hard to handle.
This is soft millennial commentary. Is what this is. Soft millennial commentary. Calling in and immediately making all these points. I mean, well, it depends on the ball, and it depends on nothing. Just roll it out there, knock them down. Move on with your business. That's got to be the mindset of society moving forward. Everything, see the fixation on this? We're rolling out a contest where we're going to have 10 of you come shoot free throws with us. And the first thing, well, what ball is it? Wrong question. You're not hitting 7 of 10 because your head's in the wrong spot. My mindset is, can I hit 10? Can I hit 10? And can I hit the 10th with my eyes closed?
Wow.
And then have a grilled cheese with Lowe.
My goodness.
That's what I'm gazpacho.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. If the first question is, well, what ball are we using? That's like the argument, well, the Warriors versus Jordan's Bulls, who would win? Well, I don't know. Is it okay if they hand check or not? What does it matter? Make a play. Mm. Make a play. Everyone assumes this version of the Warriors couldn't go out and handle the Bulls if they were hand checking. Or that this version or that version of the Bulls couldn't come here to this era and win without the hand checking. They're all competitors. They're all great players. They're going to find ways to get it done. Someone's going to win. Someone's going to lose. We have excuses and criteria for everything, though. That call. Unacceptable, Coach Adam, to call up here with commentary like that.
And the answer is we're going to be using the standard NBA ball as provided by the Golden State Warriors, and the kindness of the Warriors for letting us use Chase Center. It's not a BYOB situation. You're not going to bring your own ball.
Basketball.
Disagree. I'm bringing the Jackie Moon ABA ball, the red, white, and blue ball. That's what I'm shooting with.
No. You're bringing.
What are you going to do about it?
Well, Bob, you know, he likes me.
$50 says you...
Bob loves me.
Get a flat tire on the way to Chase and you're late. So you won't even know what to do. I'll be in there knocking down. I'm not even going to shoot free throws. I'm just going to shoot threes. I'm going to go to where Steph should be, and I'm going to knock down threes, and then on social media, I'm going to let the world know I got more threes at Chase and Steph. It's probably not the best approach for me for a long-term success with the Warriors, but, you know, you never know.
And you have to shoot the free throw from within the semicircle that is defined by the three-point arc, or the top of the lane, and the free throw stripe itself. You can't actually shoot it from further away.
Yeah, we appreciate,
it's against the rules.
Thank God we have an official here to make sure we take any of the fun out of the situation.
You know, fourth and fifth grade, you can jump over the line, but you have to start behind it. So if you want to do your little hop forward, you may want to start further back.
Really?
Yeah, CYO rules, you know.
That's fair. You're a little kid, you got to get a lot of momentum to
Without
get out
Without a
there.
Doubt.
Tamir in Oakland. Tamir, you actually came and shot free throws with us a few years ago when we did this down in Mission Bay. What's going on?
What's going on, guys? I just wanted to call because the coach that just called kind of made me laugh real bad. Like, the size of the ball, it don't matter. But I got to get back in this because I got to get revenge to you, Joe, because you beat me by one. I think you went like 8 out of 10 and loading. You went like 6 out of 10.
Why would you even bring me in then? I didn't. This is you and Joe.
I beat you, so I'm always going to beat you. My revenge is with Joe because Joe got me in and he put me on Twitter saying a whole bunch of stuff. So I'm going to try to win this stuff to come back and get at Joe because Joe put me on blast on Twitter and I got a lot of retweets and comments talking trash to me. So
you're welcome for me raising your profile on Twitter. You're welcome for the retweets. You didn't even need to bring it up, but I'll bring it up. You're welcome. And you're also welcome as a former basketball player yourself to see what a real basketball player looks like in myself. I wasn't going to bring up the fact that I knocked down 8 on that day with wind and no warm up. I showed up in, I think, jeans and flip-flops and knocked down 8 in everyone's face.
You're nice.
And then I shimmied a little bit and I moved on with my day.
Yet you won't shoot this time when the lights are brighter at Chase Center. Now that you have an audience of billions, I believe that the former show you guys had was just in the millions. I never got the official count.
Definitely not in the billions.
I was carrying somebody during middays at the time. But now that we have billions and you get the bright lights, I expect you to come out there and shoot. Joe, step up.
I don't think it's going to happen. I for what? You know, this is for the people. This is for the people. I'm gonna sit in Myers' seats courtside, get that butt groove back in there. I'll admire, and I'll have commentary. I'm shake some hands, take some pictures. I'll do things of that nature. I don't know if I'm going to shoot for what. I already put my mark out there years ago. I knocked down 8 of 10. You know, what do we want to do? I don't want to invite members of the billions out, knock down 10, and steal the show. That's not what this is about. This is about the people. This is about you shooting left-handed. This is about Lowe getting his shots up. He knows what it's like to be out there with greatness. As a former player who shared the gridiron with greatness, who produced great moments, he's going to step on the court where there's been greatness and will continue to be greatness. It's about you guys. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy myself. The opportunity of the Warriors were nice enough to invite us in the building. Personally, for me, I love that building.
Yeah.
Love that building.
It's incredible. I think I'll go 4 lefty, 4 righty, and 2 granny just to go 4 lefty, granny, 4 righty, granny. See if I can't hit 7 out of 10.
That's going to be risky because right when you start to get into a possible rhythm, you're going to be moving to a different direction.
Yeah, and it's the key, by the way, for those of you coming out, if you're lucky enough to do it, is you got to find the nail on the floor that is the center point between the free throw line and the basket. Virtually every gym you go to, and it should be every gym, there's a tiny nail that sits on the free throw line that shows you exactly dead center where the hoop meets the foul line.
How about that?
Yeah, it's one of those small nuances of basketball courts.
More people calling in to say they can win. Sure. Joe in San Rafael. Joe, thanks for the phone call. What's going on?
Hey, guys. What's up? So I used to have to hit free throws in practice. We put on the line for 10. I would always have to run after practice. If you don't make all 10, you had to run. But I know I could beat all three of you. Come on now, Lowe. You're fullback. I know I can hit a few more than you.
Joe will beat you. Sitting, I'm betting on Joe to beat you. And Dibs to beat you. They'll take you out. Oh, I'm not in. You're right. You'll probably beat me, but I guarantee you won't be my two partners. How about that?
I don't want that association. I like to stand alone.
Okay.
This is not the Avengers. Give me who's a superhero that doesn't partner up with everybody? I'm one of those guys.
Well, Iron Man's always been kind of a rebel. Not much of a team player, but he died, so you don't want to be him.
He also led the Avengers, didn't he? Like, literally the opposite of what I was saying.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, the movie's been out for a year.
Are you allowed to say that at this point?
Did he die?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I just did twice. I mean, the movie didn't come out this week, so yes. I think spoilers last as long as the movie is in theaters. Once it goes to the DVD or Blu-ray or whatever they do anymore.
Blu-ray. David in Newark. David, thank you for the phone call. Your thoughts.
What's happening, fellas? Hey, just a quick question for you guys. If you're shooting this, you're going to go for the pressure? You going last or you going first?
Good question. Good, fair question. I would do either. I like the idea of going first, send a message early on, put the pressure on everybody else. That's me personally. I don't know what you feel like.
No, that's good for the contest as far as the listeners go. We should probably have them draw lots. That way it's a random draw on who goes where, because shooting last, you'd have a better better chance in going first, I think, because you at least know what you have to beat.
So even if they beat us, Joe, what else are they getting? Besides beating, what's...
I think we're hooking...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.